Welcome, everyone. We're so glad that you're joining us, and I'm very, very excited to introduce our special guest today, Dan Brulé. Dan, it's a pleasure to be able to interview you and to have the shoe on the other foot, interviewing a peer and a fellow co-host, and I'm really looking forward to this. So for those of you who don't know you, Dan Brulé is known as the Bruce Lee of breathwork. That's no small title. And the godfather of breathwork. And he's dedicated nearly 50 years to the art and science of breathwork and is the author of several books on breathing, including Just Breathe, Mastering Breathwork for Success in Life, Business, Love and Beyond. Dan's website is www.breathmastery.com. You can find out more about him there, and I really recommend you go and check him out. Dan, welcome.
Who's that? Great to be here on the other side of the stage.
Well, I'm going to dive straight in, Dan, because we are going to be talking today about the universal principles and the higher order of breathwork, the benefits of breathwork, which both of us know really only too well. And I really want to come back to the very first point at which I personally got to experience your work. And given that we are in completely different countries and continents, it was a blessing to be able to do that. And I remember being in a very full room, listening to you lead your session, and you had your angels around in the way that we do. And we got to witness all these people going into process. And many people who perhaps haven't experienced the kind of breath work that you deliver and that I deliver, but let's talk about this dynamic, connected breath work that we teach and offer. Let's just start there. What are the underlying fundamentals that we can find in the methods that we teach? And what are the basic facets and aspects of breath work?
Yeah, well, you know, just like all of the great musicians, they still practice the scales every time they perform. Before they perform. So I've always been a real missionary for coming back to the basics, coming back to the basics. And in the last 50 years of teaching and growing and developing, it's a real discipline for me to keep coming back and start over as if I know nothing and try to look at each little piece and people and things that we do with this sort of Zen beginner's mind, this childlike, innocent mind. And every time I do that, I uncover another secret. I get another insight. I strengthen something that I've already developed. So it's always been really interesting for me to dig into what are the fundamentals of everything that I do, not just breath work, but everything, and make sure I remember them, because it makes decisions really easy. It eliminates confusion when you have a few solid principles that you default to instead of miscellaneous urges and random impulses and changing moods and changing states and so on. So I found three, what I call the real fundamentals of breath work, and I think everyone will recognize them. The first one is to do with consciousness, to do with awareness. So as soon as we put our attention on our breathing, we are applying that first fundamental principle. We are becoming aware, becoming conscious, becoming mindful. And there's no way to practice any breathing exercises without focusing on your breathing, which means becoming conscious and aware of your breath. So that's the first principle. Many people have different ways of becoming conscious of their breath and becoming aware of their breathing, but you can see how it's kind of unavoidable as a principle. The second principle might not be so obvious, but it is equally unavoidable if our intention is to extract the greatest benefits from breathwork, and that is relaxation. I'm a real missionary for relaxation, the ability to let go, the ability to soften and loosen yourself, the ability to surrender, the ability to kind of just go with the flow, to open. It's kind of a female principle, right? In breath work, that to be available, to be open, to be open to receiving and not holding on to anything. So that second principle, relaxation, whether or not people teach it consciously or whether or not they recognize it, I don't think it's possible to extract the greatest benefits from breathwork unless you really become a master of relaxation. You know, as my friend Stig Severinsen, the free diving champion and the holder of the record of breath holding underwater, his favorite expression is, relaxation is in the exhalation. Relaxation is in the exhalation. And nobody could hold their breath underwater for 22 minutes without learning how to relax into those powerful feelings, right? So I think that's a real vital key to breath mastery, is constantly improving our ability to let go quicker, to relax more deeply, to relax more totally, to relax in more situations. And so I see it as a basic fundamental. I don't think we can get very far if we haven't learned to let go of where we are. So, and the third principle is something that you and I really, I know you're passionate about it. Teaching people to learn how to access energy with their breath, how to actually generate energy with their breath, which means, I call it taking charge, right? We got to take charge of every feeling, every emotion, everything that happens in us. If we're not an active participant, you know, I could go for surgery and I just surrender to the doctor and they put me on the anesthesia. I'm totally unconscious. I'm not in charge of anything. And I wake up and they fix something in me. Wow, isn't that amazing? But if I wasn't a participant in that healing, there's a very good chance that the healing is going to be temporary and I'm going to recreate it. So we need to learn to take charge of our life force energy and learn how to breathe energy and not just air. And so that means breath control. And you can see that every breathing school, breathe in for four, hold for four, breathe in five, breathe out five, they're talking about taking charge of their breathing. So those are the three principles that I've identified.
That's really interesting, because I hear you talk about the feminine principle there of softening and surrendering and letting go. And I go, oh, that's what I'm learning. I might be a woman, but that's what I'm learning, actually, how to soften and surrender and to relax. Because we live in times where we are so constantly overloaded by stimulus and charge and all of this stuff that's going on in the world at the moment, that really to be able to access presence, self-awareness and softening and surrendering through the breath, through something as simple as the breath, is so crucial. So it's really, really important work, isn't it?
Boy, and I think it's vital. Yeah.
Well, have you found, Dan, that your work has in any way shifted or changed during the last 2 years? Or would you say it's amplified or any new directions?
Yeah, in the last couple of years, because of COVID and breathing online and virtual breathwork and Zoom breathing has become normal, I have adapted and adjusted a few things and just presentation and so on. But in my own personal practice, I've had a couple of really profound breakthroughs in the last couple of years. And that's always exciting to me, because when you think you know something, you discover that you only thought you knew it, but now you really know it until the next time you realize, right? So I've had a couple of those big ahas recently, and they have to do with subtle energy, just subtle energy breathing techniques, and a developing of a kind of a sensitivity that's hard to talk about, but a felt sense of energy, of subtle energy that it allows me to make better decisions. It allows me to coach people better, because I think I've gotten better in the last couple of years at picking up subtle things, intuitive things, because I kind of had to force myself across time and space. I always required on being right in the person's bubble. And then it's never been a problem for me. I get a feeling, I get a thought, I get an idea to coach, and I'm tracking that, but it's because I'm in their aura and I'm picking up information somehow intuitively. And when I started, you know, going full on internet, I could see that I couldn't take advantage of that. So it kind of forced me to, I don't know, make my antenna bigger. It forced me to find another way to find that energetic, subtle energy connection with people from a distance. And that really excites me. That means I just eliminated what I thought was a boundary or a barrier or a limitation, and it's not there now. So I love that.
I'm in complete agreement. It's been astonishing to me to realize that actually connection and presence fundamentally can transmit across the Ethernet, the airwaves, as much as it can in person. And I'm interested in this concept that you bring in here, Dan, around, you talked before about insights and downloads that are coming in. And I think there's something about the quietness and the solitude that we've been forced into, sometimes uncomfortably, that's allowed an amplification of that subtle awareness. So when you talk about the higher order of breath work, is that anything to do with this kind of concept, or is it something different?
No, it actually does. But it's really funny. The way that I arrived at that term, actually, was I was hired by a giant pharmaceutical company. I don't want to advertise for them. I was so surprised when they called me because I said, listen, have you read about what I say about pharmaceuticals? I'm against them. I believe in trying to find inner forces. And I think our brain is a chemical factory and we don't need to take these pills and drugs. Why are you calling me? And as it turned out, it was their marketing department that contacted me and paid me to go to Lyon in France and work with their marketing advertising people. And so the issue was that they have a nasal decongestant, and all the big pharmaceutical companies have these nasal decongestant. You know, you squirt them into your nose when your sinuses are clogged up and okay, your sinuses are open. So everybody was advertising the same thing. Oh, you feel stuffed up, you know, squirt this in your nose and then you can breathe again. And so they come up with this concept of, okay, well, everybody else is advertising that way. Why don't we find another angle? And so instead of ending the commercial at, oh, now I'm breathing better again, why don't we start there? And so they thought I was the best guy to give them a whole bunch of ideas on, okay, let's say you are breathing fully and freely. What's possible for you? What kind of problems does that eliminate? And so that's what I did. I gave them a masterclass on what we call the higher order benefits of breath, well, in that case, it was nasal decongestant, but really it was about full and free breathing and healthy breathing. So they gave me that term. I picked it up in their conversation with me. And then I started to meditate it on. I go, you know what? In my own practice, that's really what I'm interested in. I can breathe with people and get rid of your headaches, get rid of your asthma, deal with pain, you know, eliminate trauma, get fears and all that stuff. But is there a higher level of benefits beyond all that stuff? And do we have to clear up all that other stuff before we get to those higher benefits? Or can we just dive or jump right into them? So, and I just figured I'd use that for this particular presentation because it really fit the higher order benefits and the necessity to return to the basics in order to really access them.
So it's, we're kind of in a chicken and egg thing, because is it the higher consciousness that clears the trauma, or is it the trauma that needs to clear before we can access the higher consciousness? And I suspect it's both, and that they're interchangeable.
Yeah, you know, when you really want to solve a problem, you got to throw everything you got at it. You know, like just whatever, throw it off. And so I think both things are really, really, doing both is like really important, yeah.
Well, Dan, you've had 50 years now working with the breath, so you must have seen an awful lot. You must have developed your own insight, intuition, awareness of how you want to bring your work into the world. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about the evolution of your journey with that and what the significant changes have been for you in the way that you deliver breath work.
Yeah, well, my history with breathwork began as a five-year-old child in kindergarten. And the first time I heard the priest, our pastor of our church, talked about God taking dust of the earth and forming the body of man and breathing into the nostrils of man the breath of life. Oh my God, as a little child, I was so excited by that. And I have no idea why, except it was like, well, why isn't everybody excited? God is breathing into us. Oh, well. And so I don't know, some little spark got awakened. And then through childhood, my relationship to breathing was all around trauma, getting the wind knocked out of me, near drowning experiences, being suffocated under a bunch of people. They called it a pig in a blanket thing, where everybody piles on top of you and you're being crushed by a ton of other people. And I could feel my body being compressed against the ground and I couldn't take in a breath. And then when I got in the military, I literally drowned. And when I got in the military, I was mixing gases for deep sea diving. I was doing breath holding underwater. I learned how to use my breath to manage my arousal, to lower my heart rate when it went through the roof, how to focus. And so I just sort of stumbled into this stuff. And before the military, in between my drowning experiences as a teenager and the military, I became a CPR technician. I learned cardiopulmonary resuscitation. And when I resuscitated the first person, his name was John Doherty. He's going to live in my heart forever. To come upon that guy who was clinically dead, his pupils were fixed and dilated. He had no heartbeat, no pulse. He wasn't breathing. And I blew into him and he blinked and woke up. It was a miracle. I mean, I was giddy and ecstatic for days. I mean, what a miracle. And so I was hooked. And then I resuscitated 19 people in my professional life, in the military, and then as a CPR for working for the Red Cross, for the Heart Association, as a paramedic, and so on. And then when I got out of the military, I was blessed to discover Leonard Orr and rebirthing. And it took everything I had ever learned about the breath to the next level, because everything I had been dealing with the breath was about survival, was about trauma, was about overcoming adversity, was about, you know, it was military, literally. And then when I met Leonard Orr, and he had this soft, open heart, and all of his communication was void of any negative emotions, the way he communicated, even really powerful emotional thoughts, he had this such soft clarity, as if he had cleared stuff from his system, and his communication could be so pure. And I discovered rebirthing. And then it was like, wow, okay, now, instead of coming upon people who are dead or dying and breathing with them and bringing back to life, I can come upon people who are already alive, breathe with them, and make them more alive. And so I've been hooked on that ever since.
Wow, I'm really deeply moved. I didn't know any of this about you. I didn't know about your military background. I didn't know that you'd practiced free diving and breath holds, and were so familiar with the cardiorespiratory system and everything. So I can really see how that must inform your practice and what you bring to the people that you work with. So what kind of basic techniques can people engage for themselves as a starting point? What would be some recommendations and exercises you'd suggest, Dan?
Great. I think almost every breath worker, almost every speaker at the summit has talked about starting with breath awareness. I know you do too, right? How do you know you're breathing? Focus on the sensations in your body and the movements and the feelings and the muscles you use. And so I think that's a given. So I won't say more about that. But I would like to give just a couple of things to play with so people can start to direct their attention in a certain way and play with what I call the forces and dynamics that are at work or at play whenever we do any breathing exercise or technique or meditation. So rather than giving you a real basic thing, I'd like to introduce something that comes out of my teaching about two-phase breathing. It's a whole seminar in itself, and we spend sometimes days really exploring it. But I want to give people a little bit of taste just in terms of these universal forces and dynamics that everybody is working with whenever they do breath work. So let's think about this. Imagine a clock, and the top of the clock, 12 o'clock, and the bottom of the clock is 6 o'clock. And the top of the clock is the top of the inhale, where I'm very, very full. And if I can try to get to exactly midnight, taking a couple of sips, until I'm extremely full. I can't take in another drop. And then I hold the breath and stretch and move and twist and turn. And then I find that I could take in a little more. Like, I stretch and I move and I twist and I find I can take in a little more. So we play with that game of getting up to the full point and somehow relaxing and loosening. And then you find you can find a little more, right? So the bottom of that circle of the clock, 6 o'clock, would be totally empty, where I squeeze everything out, squeeze, squeeze, exhale, 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 and I get the last drop out and then hold that empty and then stretch and twist and turn, and then I can squeeze more out and then hold that and twist and squeeze and stretch and open, and I can squeeze a little more out. And then I hold that, right? So I want to invite people to play with those extremes, approach them, get up to them and hover at those extremes and see if you can't bring relaxation at a place where you're holding and forcing and fighting, and instead hover there, relax, and then you find that you can open more or release more, right? So the exercise I want to give people right now to practice is I want you to divide that circle. Well, if you divide it in half, left to right, from midnight to 6 o'clock, that's the exhale. From 6 o'clock to 12, that's the inhale, right? So inhaling, exhaling, right? So we divide the clock in half left to right. We have the inhale and the exhale. But I want you to divide the clock in half the other way, across from 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And then we talk about the top half of the circle and the bottom half of the circle. Now look at what the top half of the circle means, right? So we do rebirthing breath work, and that's working the top half of the circle. It's an active inhale and a passive exhale. And we don't blow and we don't push and we don't try to make ourselves empty. We come to what I, so 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock are what I call reflex points. 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock are what I call neutral points. So this reflex, when I'm very full and I don't blow, I don't exhale, I just relax, that takes me to 3 o'clock. I'm now in the neutral zone. So in rebirthing, what we would do is as soon as we get to that neutral point, we don't blow, we don't push, we don't do the exhale, we don't try to empty ourselves. We just come back around into an active inhale and then back to a passive exhale. Active inhale, passive exhale, active inhale, passive exhale. And we're working the top half of the clock. So I want people to feel that right now, right? So make your inhale very active. You're doing it. Fill yourself up side to side, front to back, top to bottom. And then when you exhale, don't exhale, just let go and let the exhale happen, right? So I do the inhale, my body does the exhale, right? I do the inhale, the exhale does itself. So see, take a few breaths right now and see if you can feel that, because the reflex will do the work of the exhale. So we don't have to, we can get out of the way and we just let go totally. And by letting go, we trigger the movement of the breath. Right? So we trigger the movement of the breath on the inhale by will, by actively determining to do it, by actually doing it, but then the exhale is passive. So see if you can feel that. Everyone is listening right now. Active inhale, you do it. Passive exhale, it happens by itself. Active inhale, passive exhale, right? And get a feel for that. Now you can do it fast, you can do it slow, you know, it can be subtle, it can be extreme, but we want to play with this reflex at 12 o'clock so that reflex will do the exhale for us. I don't have to blow or force. And then we want to play with the bottom half of the circle. What is the bottom half of the circle? Active exhale, passive inhale. This is where practices like Bhashtaki and, you know, breath of fire and a lot of the Kundalini exercises and prana yoga, where the exhale is the active portion of the breathing. So now I'm at the bottom half of the circle. I blow, I push, I exhale. I get closer and closer to 6 o'clock. And then what do? I relax. And I don't breathe in. The breath pours into me because it's passive. Active exhale, passive inhale, active exhale, passive inhale. Play with that for a couple of breaths and see if you can feel the difference. I do the exhale, squeeze everything out, and then just relax. Don't inhale, just relax. And feel how the breath pours into you by itself and you don't have to inhale. And then as soon as the breath stops coming in by itself, don't pull any further. Don't try to breathe in more. Go back around and squeeze the exhale out again and let the reflex cause the breath to come in and play with the bottom half of that circle. And you'll start to get a feeling of those forces and dynamics. So then we can take it a little further. We could do active, active. So I do an active inhale, active exhale, active inhale, active exhale. Now I'm balancing, right? And then I end by doing passive inhale, passive exhale, passive inhale, passive exhale. And so I just think it's a great drill to train and to begin to play with these forces. And then you see what muscles you're using. Maybe you're using unnecessary muscles. Maybe what you thought was a full breath wasn't anywhere near a full breath. Maybe what you thought was empty wasn't anywhere near empty. And I think if you begin to play with this exercise, you're going to start to get a handle on these forces and dynamics. And I think it's going to take your practice to some really new levels.
Mm-hmm. Wow, thank you. That sounds like a complete adventure around the breath through the clock face. And it's something that I hadn't really contemplated. And yet when you described the opposite end in the bottom half of the clock as the kundalini and the fire breath and all those kind of things, I was like, oh yeah, of course, that's what it is. And there are so many ways to breathe. And most of us are breathing in a really dysregulated, underfunctioning or overfunctioning way. So is that your one exercise, Dan, that you recommend, or is that just the way that you kind of begin to look at the whole pattern of breathing?
Yeah, no, I figured I would introduce that at this talk because I wanted to have people start to play with those forces and dynamics. Because when we get under stress or when we're under some emotional pressure, we tend to become active when we need to let go, and we tend to become kind of passive and wishy-washy when we need to take charge. And so if you can get into that relationship with your breath, it will start to inform you in those moments of when you need to be psychologically active or passive, when you need to be emotionally expressive or just receptive, when you need to actually do something, and when it's better to just let things happen. And so I think if we play with these forces in breath work, we begin to develop the intuitive ability to apply the same principles to serious problems and illnesses and when we're under deep stress and in our everyday challenges. So, so it's one of, I've invented, 100 breathing techniques and exercise and meditations. And I think we all need to do that, just play with your breath and invent some very cool breathing protocols and just see where they take you. And if they help you, I bet you they'll help somebody else.
Yeah, beautiful. And if we can use the breath to help ourselves and help each other, which is why we're here engaged with this conference, how wonderful is that, that it's this simple, free, readily available resource that we have to create energy or to ground and center. And so in a way, that leads into my next question, because what you're describing is highlighting that link between spirituality, consciousness, health, well-being, all of these different aspects that we can explore through the breath. And you must have seen a huge amount of that over 50 years of journeying with the breath, Dan.
Yeah. So I just observed something. You asked me a question. I didn't have an answer. And so just by habit, I took a breath. And I take that for granted now. But I've trained so often whenever I had a moment of doubt or confusion or tension or an emotion suddenly hijacked me. I trained and trained and practiced to take a breath in that moment. And just now I saw it working for me. I didn't think about doing it. I've practiced so often in that moment that my breath by itself got triggered and tried to open and expand me and release any blockage. And so now I'm in a better state to answer the question. If only I could remember your question.
I was speaking to this exploration of how the breath is connected to consciousness, energy, spirit, form, and just saying, you know, in your 50 years, you must have seen a huge range of that connection and that exploration. So maybe let's talk about a few of the really big things that you've noticed and observed, or anything that has shifted in your awareness around what the breath can and can't do.
Yeah, I used to think of those things as separate, kind of standalone phenomenon: energy, consciousness, spirituality, right? But more and more, the more I breathe, the more I breathe with others, the more I open and expand, the more I relax and let go, the more all that came together. And I honestly, I don't know if there's a difference between consciousness, energy, and spirituality, because the most conscious people I have ever met have been the most spiritual, and they have the most energy. And the people and the most spiritual people I've ever met were the most conscious people I've ever met, and they had the most beautiful energy. And the most energized people I've ever met have been the most conscious and the most spiritual. So I think it's all come together in my own mind and my own experience that those are not separate things. To be conscious is to be spiritual. To breathe is to work with your consciousness, is to work with your energy. And there's no way to access energy without consciousness and breathing. And there's no way to breathe without touching consciousness and energy. And there's no way to be conscious without developing this relationship to the breath and without becoming more spiritual. So in my book, it's all the same thing now. Maybe I just have a simple mind, but it's all come together into one phenomenon for me. Or maybe it's like a facet, maybe it's like a diamond, and you turn it and you see the green, and you turn a little bit and you see the red, and you turn, but it's one gem. Maybe that's the only difference, is that consciousness, spirituality, energy are facets of the human essence, of facets of the essence of existence, of nature. But I know it's one thing now.
Well, the breath is our marker of existence, isn't it? If anybody, and as you say, you saw the gentleman that you literally saw the life force return to him when you breathed into him. And for any of us who've been with somebody who's dying or passed and witnessed that the only noticeable thing is the absence of the breath, it's so powerfully humbling. And to be able to learn, you know, and let's come to the title of your work, breath mastery, is something that can really help us navigate through life, navigate our emotions, navigate our health, our well-being, our life force. So you gave us this comprehensive exploration. And would that be your one practice that you would say start with that if you're going to begin to navigate your breath? We'll have people listening who are maybe at the very beginning of their journey, and we'll have people who are seasoned regulars. Would you recommend the same thing to them?
Not as a starting point, no. My feeling about breath mastery, or my insight about breath mastery, it just kept coming to me because I realized the only way I could master my emotions was by mastering my breath. And that's when I was in the military, and you know, you're drowning and you're panicking, and yet you have to rescue someone else. And how do you, I'm struggling for my own life, but I went out there to rescue somebody. How do I do that? And so I realized that if I'm going to master my own fears, if I'm going to master my own body, if I'm going to master my own energy, my own emotions, then I need to master my breath. And by mastering my breath, I will master my body. I will master my emotions. I will master my mind, and I will master life. It started as a working theory because I'm a lazy bastard and I didn't want to learn a whole lot of things. I wanted to learn one thing. And if I could really master that, it would influence all the other things that I wanted to improve or change or heal. And every single day of my life when I practice, it's proven itself more and more true. So breath mastery, I think we can turn this into a question because I get it a lot. If you could only practice one technique, one exercise, because, you know, oh, Dan, you teach all these exercises. I don't know where to start, what to do. Is there one breathing exercise or technique that you could say would be the single best one to ever practice? If we had that conversation with 10 people, I think we'd have 10 different arguments, and each person would be defending their number one, you know, thing. So I happen to have my own answer for that. And so it's this. Practice whatever breathing exercise or technique makes you more conscious. Play with whatever breathing exercise or technique or meditation that wakes you up, that makes you more aware of your body, of your habits, of your reactions, of your feelings, of your sensations, of your thoughts, of your emotions, of your environment. Whatever breathing exercise or technique makes you more conscious, that's the best breathing exercise technique for you. The second one is, how can you learn to breathe to relax, to release tension, to let go, to surrender, to soften, to open, so that life, spirit can permeate us, so that whatever's lodged in our system can get released and it's available to flow from us. So whatever breathing technique or exercise you find that helps you improve your relaxation, to make it quicker to relax more deeply, more totally, or in more situations, whatever breathing exercise for you results in more relaxation, increases or improves your ability to relax, that is the best exercise or technique for you. And the third one is, how can I breathe so that before I breathe for a few minutes and after I breathe for a few breaths or a few minutes, I literally feel more energized? It's not a philosophy. It's not an intellectual thing. I genuinely feel energized and more alive. Whatever breathing exercise does that for you, that's the best one. So what I did is I put all that together into one exercise. So if you could do one exercise that wakes you up, helps you to let go, and helps you to access energy, then that is going to be the best single exercise that you could ever possibly practice. Now it's up to you to find out what that is.
I was about to ask
for you.
Now
and
I
I'll tell you what it is for me.
Go ahead.
It's a sigh of relief. It's a sigh of relief. A deliberate, conscious, active, exaggerated sigh of relief, which is an inhale that's twice as big as normal, followed by a deliberate, exaggerated Shakespearean display of relaxation and letting go. Just work with a basic sigh of relief, an inhale that's twice as big as normal with an exaggerated letting go. And you can pull all these three things together by just playing with a simple sigh.
I was going to ask you to give us the one and then pointing out as well, you know, now I understand why you're called the Bruce Lee of breathwork, because when I listen to you talk about fundamentally being lazy, which I don't perceive, but I'm going to take your word for it, that in order to find mastery of one thing, but to bring in all these other aspects of your awareness and your experience of life, which is exactly, you know, Bruce Lee became a master of what he did. and now I get it, Dan. I get why you're called that. And, you know, I've just been listening to a podcast by Andrew Huberman, who does all this stuff around neuroscience and the breath. And they were talking about the importance of the sigh yesterday, because we often see that as something dysfunctional, you know, like, why are people gasping for breath? And it might be if the consciousness isn't there. But also, as with most of these things, they can be flipped and used, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. That's the difference between something that we do unconsciously and something that we do actively and deliberately. It has a different effect when we do something consciously than just just some, you know, just with no consciousness. So you're talking about Jack Feldman too. And it's really funny because since that Hoopman podcast, he interviewed Jack Feldman, I think I've gotten a dozen emails, and I got one from somebody from Stewart and a couple of people that I met years ago. And they went, you know, Dan, I remember being at that seminar and you were talking about sighing and how, and I was sitting there in the audience going, this guy's crazy. Sighing's no good. It's pathological. I read about it. And now, and he wrote back to me after like 10 years going, Dan, I just wrote to you to apologize because it seems like you were way ahead of your time. And so, yeah, the sigh is, I've been a missionary for the sigh. You know, 20 years ago, I said, and yawning, I said, yawning is yoga. And so I'm glad that, and see, because of people like Jack Feldman and the research they're doing at UCLA and Stanford and so on, now they got scientific kind of evidence. And so suddenly it's okay. Up until, you know, before, I'm going to listen to this weird guy, but oh, the doctor says it's okay now, so I guess I'll do it. But my philosophy is, oh my God, if you're waiting for science to catch up with you, good luck. Because what we were teaching 40 years ago, now science is finally saying, oh yeah, they were laughing at us. They were making fun of us. They were, you know, warning people against us. And 40 years later, they act like they own it. They act like they invented it. They act like they just discovered it. And so part of me is going, well, where the heck were you 40 years ago? And now the things that I or we are working on now, it's probably going to be 5-10 years before science is able to show it. And so, hey, if you're waiting for that, you do not belong around me. I don't have the patience or the tolerance for people who need some external authority to tell them it's okay to be their own scientist, to explore their own experience. But that takes a risk, doesn't it? And it does take courage to leap forward, even though there's no proof or no evidence. There's just this deep calling, and you have no choice but to follow it. And I hope above hope that if anything else, if nothing else, breathwork takes people to that place where they just decide, you know what, I'm going to trust myself. I don't know who's right, who's wrong. I don't know what's true, what's not true. I'm getting conflicting information. For every 5 scientists that tell me this, 5 more tell me that. I don't know where to go. If ever I needed to find my own source, my own center, my own access, my own inner authority, now is the time more than ever. And so I don't want to tell people, don't listen to the doctors, don't listen to scientists. I just want to say, hey, it's great when they can help us with proof, but don't wait for them to prove it before you do your own experiments. And for me, many of the experiments, the experiment is over. It's been proven to me in my own experience and working with thousands of people that humans are capable of doing things that science doesn't dare even suggest. And so I appreciate science, but it's like dragging a big heavy wagon full of bricks behind me if I want to like stay with it. I'd rather just leap ahead, hang out in my hammock, practice, and wait until science catches up, and then I'll take another leap.
I love that visual of you hanging out in your hammock going, you know, more than 20 years ahead of your time. Because when you first started with all this, Dan, you know, as you said, 50 years ago, breathwork was relatively unheard of, apart from, as you say, people like Stan Grof and Leonard Orr, and it was the fringes and the beginnings. And yet it's something that is so fundamental to who we are. And the point that you just brought in is a perfect place to come to a close in this, in just saying to people, begin to trust your inner authority, begin to trust your felt sense, begin to trust your breath. Thank you so much for bringing that in. And Dan, I'd love to know, what have you got lined up? Is there anything that you have that you'd like to talk about? Where can people find more about you?
Yeah, thank you. Breathmastery.com. And go there. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram at Dan Brulé Official. And one of the most exciting things that's coming up for me, deepbreathingfestival.com. You can find out everything that happened and everybody who's involved in the International Center for Breathwork. We have 70 of the leading breathworkers in the world are members of the International Center for Breathwork. I believe you are one of our global leaders in the ICFB. But that will already have taken place, but the recordings of it will be on the ICFB website. But the other thing that there'll still be time if you're listening, if we haven't filled it yet, is my 21-day annual retreat that I do in Los Cabos in the Baja in Mexico. And this will be my 16th year. It started out as my personal retreat because I travel 10 countries a year, 9-10 months of the year. I've been traveling for the last 30 years without stop. And when the pandemic hit, I kind of ground to a halt with my travels and so on. And so people have been finding it hard to work and train with me personally because we canceled a lot of the seminars. So we filled our annual February retreat and we actually overfilled it. So we're doing a second one from March 14th to April 3rd. It's a 21-day deep dive personal growth retreat combined with a practitioner training intensive. 21 days, March 14th to April 3rd. I think it's already half full. We can only take 16 people. And so please go to breathmastery.com. And if there's still a space, it's a life-changing. You will not be the same after 21 days. You will have power. You will have peace and inner peace and calmness. And you'll be so creative. You cannot breathe every day alone, with a partner, in a group, without making radical and dramatic up-leveling of whatever you do. So that I'm most excited about that because this is the first time in 16 years that we had to do two separate 21-day trainings because it seems like the world is demanding it.
Dan, you know, your energy is the best advert ever for what you're saying about you come in and you do this breathing for 21 days and you'll feel alive and you'll feel energized. So I'm really, really grateful for this opportunity that we've had to talk together. And please come back to the UK again soon. Please, please, please come and do something here. I'd love to put something on for you to come to.
And it's always lovely to collaborate with you. Always happy to collaborate with you, Steph. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan, for your time today. And thank you, everybody, for watching this amazing session with Dan Brulé. Please find out where he is, go follow him, go sign up for his events, and do yourselves a favor. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Good luck in your practice and many, many blessings on your path.